the Jaspers.
Got it. Got it. We are talking today with Pete Janney in our latest college basketball preview, and we are taking a look at Yale, a little bit at Ivy League. He's also a co-author of The Madness of Ivy Hoops, runs a website, Ivy Hoops Online, plus former sports information director for the Manhattan Jaspers. Pete, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Derek. Thanks so much for the opportunity. Looking forward to talking about Ivy Hoops.
Yeah, you bet. Well, let's start with the Yale. We kind of do like to, you know, with this preview, look at the teams that made last year's NCAA tournament, and then we focus in on the, you know, kind of bigger picture there when it comes to, you know, the league that they play in. Last year, Yale goes 13-1 in the league. They win the Ivy League, you know, tournament. They beat Princeton, they beat Cornell, and then advance on to the NCAA tournament as a 13 seed before losing to Texas A&M. Looking back on that, Pete, tell me a little bit about that season for Yale under Coach James Jones and kind of, you know, what was behind the success.
Yeah, I mean, it was an incredible season. Obviously, when you think of Yale the last couple of years, you think of the likes of John Pulakitis, Bezan Bang, Danny Wolf, who eventually transferred to Michigan but was part of that core there too in New Haven. But just focusing on Pulakitis and Bang, I mean, these were two guys who came in. They were part of the winningest class in Yale basketball history. And what they achieved was remarkable. Obviously, the upset win over Auburn in the first round of the NCAA tournament in 2024 was a remarkable win. Pulakitis had six threes in that game, and just a game that we'll never forget, you know, those who are Yale fans and those who watch Ivy League basketball, because it's not necessarily in the national consciousness all the time. But seeing that come to fruition last year, you know, it didn't go their way once they made the tournament, lost a tough game to Texas A&M. Bezan Bang didn't have the game that he wanted, and Pulakitis never really was able to get going in that game, and the Aggies were able to survive. But I know this is what's come to be expected, you know, with Yale. They're expected to compete. You know, they'll have another opportunity this year in non-conference against Alabama to show their you know, their fight and what they're all about. And, you know, that should be a fun game just to see, you know, what they can do against an SEC opponent. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So they'll, you know, definitely the preseason favorite in the Ivy League coming into this year after winning it. Gosh, what is it now? Two of the last making it, they're going for four of the last five tournament bids out of the Ivy.
Yeah. When it comes to this team, who is coming back? Who are some names to know when it comes to Yale?
Yeah, I mean, Nick Townsend is a fantastic player in the front court, a guy who's definitely part of the chatter for preseason player of the year. So he'll play the four. Nick is a great player, great rebounder, great shooter. And then at the five, Samson Alaton is a beast, especially at the mid-major level. He'll definitely take another step up this year. So it starts with those two guys. I could see Casey Simmons being inserted into the starting lineup this year, playing the two or the three, a good ball handler, really good defensive player. Isaac Seliskar is another really interesting player, sophomore, a guy that averaged 7 points a game last year. Derek, he's expected to take a big leap. I would say he'll probably be a double-digit scorer this year. And then one of the interesting things about Yale is with Bez now gone, you know, how does the point guard situation look? They bring in Courtney Wallace, a freshman, from the Pittsburgh area. I've heard really good reviews about him so far from people that have seen a Yale practice. So I'm excited to see. He should be in the mix for that starting point guard battle with Trevor Mullen. Trevor is now a junior. And yeah, Trevor kind of has been a role player over the years, so I'm not sure if he's ready to take that next step. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on with them while the rest of the lineup is pretty much solidified.
When it comes to Coach James Jones and his programs over the years, I guess kind of looking back on, you know, he has been there since, you know, 2000 and, you know, a few good seasons in there for a little while, then eventually 2016, they break through and it's been pretty much, you know, every other year, if not, you know, like you said, you know, they're going for four out of the last five. So what do you think changed or what has he built since, you know, that, you know, run there 2000, 2015, there were no NCAA tournament bids. What do you think has changed in that run?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's literally been able to recruit NBA-level talent. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a guy like Danny Wolf who played there for 2 years, and it was you were able to see just the potential that he had. And now he was a first-round draft pick with the Brooklyn Nets after 1 year with Dusty May. You had Oney a couple of years before that, who landed with the Jazz, played for a little bit, so he got some NBA action. So he's literally been able to bring in talent, Derek, that should be playing at the high major level pretty easily. I mean, John Pulakidas in his career since his sophomore year on, I think six games against high major opponents, averaged 19 points per game. And unfortunately, he just got let go the other day by the Clippers, but an incredibly talented player. These are incredibly talented individual players that you don't see every day in the Ivy League. And it's a credit to what James has been able to do. He's had a great staff in place there for a while. They've had some turnover now, so it's a little bit of a change. I don't expect things to really, be different because James has been doing this for so long, and he's such a veteran, and he's such a good X's and O's coaches. And every time I think Yale takes the floor, especially in conference play, they have an extreme advantage. They lost one game in the regular season last year to Harvard. They almost had an undefeated season, so it just speaks volumes to what they're able to do, especially late in the season.
Once again, we're talking with Pete Janney, Ivy Hoops Online, talking Yale men's basketball for our 68 team college basketball preview. Pete, when it comes to scanning out a little bit, zooming out and looking at the Ivy League as a whole, you mentioned Yale should be the preseason favorite. What else does it look like there in that league?
Yeah, I mean, I expect Harvard to take a jump up this year. They finished the season really strong, on a really high note. They didn't make Ivy Madness. They finished fifth place, I believe, so they just missed it. So I expect them to be the second or third spot. I really think they have a good chance to be the runner up, behind their arch nemesis Yale. And they're led by Robert Hinton, really flashy guard, comes from Southern California. He's a sophomore now. Had a really big season for them last year, averaging 14 points per game. He should be in the conversation with a Nick Townsend for Player of the Year. The kid is extremely talented, and I think has NBA potential. They also return Cameron Piget, another good veteran piece for them, in the backcourt. So, Tommy Amaker is ready to get back to where he belongs, toward the top of the Ivy League. So I expect them to be very good. You take a look at a team like Penn, with Fran McCaffrey back in the mid-major level. They get TJ Power, a transfer from Virginia. Ethan Roberts, a really good guard who led them in scoring last year, 16 points per game. So they're going to be a really strong team, Derek. I think Penn is going to be right back in the conversation for a spot in Ivy Madness, the three or four spot. And then I think teams that will round it out will be teams like Cornell, which are always super efficient offensively. Last year, they led the nation in effective field goal percentage and 2-point field goal percentage. They're also top five nationally in assists per game, made field goal percentage, and made 3-pointers per game. So for when you think of Cornell, it starts with Cooper Nord in the backcourt, really strong point guard for them. He actually briefly tested the transfer portal and decided to come back to Ithaca, so that was huge for Cornell. And then Jake Feegan had a really breakout year for them, in the backcourt as well. So that 1-2 tandem in the backcourt is going to be really dangerous between Nord and Feegan at Cornell, and that should give them a chance to really contend. And also worth noting that the Ivy Madness is in Ithaca this year, so that's another kind of chip on their shoulder, and they're really motivated to get there and maybe break through this year. And then Dartmouth is a team that's been on the rise. Made Ivy Madness last year. I think a lot of people didn't expect them to do that. They had a really strong season led by their star player, Brandon Mitchell Day, 6'8 power forward. He averaged 13 and 7 last year. He's back to lead the charge for them, and he is another guy that I think is starting to kind of creep onto the bottom of some NBA boards and lists. So he's a guy to watch. I like Dartmouth too, and I like the direction they're going under with Dave McLaughlin at the helm.
Pete Janney again talking with us today on our latest men's college basketball preview, Ivy Hoops Online, also the co-author, The Madness of Ivy Basketball. Pete, really appreciate the time. Thanks a lot for talking Yale and Ivy League basketball, and hope you enjoyed the season, all right?
Yeah, this is great, Derek. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for covering it with KMA, and I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of your coverage. Thank you.